What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're now on Red Circle, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Also on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. I can just tell you, from the Bahamas, we've been posting about 20 videos a day. Lots of content, interviews with the players, and more. So make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. If you're a Dolphins fan or a Hurricanes fan, you're going to want to do that as well. Also, fivereasonsports.com. Spell that one out. You get the latest content without a paywall in written form. And also, check out our great sponsors. We've got a gambling sponsor. It's called Better Edge. Go to Better Edge. That's with an O, betteredge.com/5reasons, or just go to betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. You get $20 to play. This is peer-to-peer betting. This is legal in the state of Florida, and you can find the line you want. So it's betteredge.com with the code 5RSN. And also Prize Picks. That, of course, is our fantasy sponsor. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. You get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Just voted the number one fastest growing sports property in the country. And we have videos all the time on the YouTube channel explaining how to play. So go to Prize Picks, use the code 5, F-I-V-E, certainly before the Dolphins game on Thursday night against Cincinnati, or betteredge.com, use the code 5RSN. And now, today's episode, an interview with Caleb Martin from Media Day.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. We're here at Heat Media Day. I got Guy Cartagena, Brady Hawk, Alex Toledo is producing, and we've got Caleb Martin. I just got to ask you something before we move on with anything else. Last year, we had you on the podcast, and the nickname that you preferred was Red Bull, correct? Has it taken off? I don't see t-shirts in the stores or anything like that.
I'm not an advertising type dude. I like to keep low key. So, you know, I just did it because I'm cool with the nickname though. I know Deadman, a lot of other dudes like come in. So I don't, you know, but I'm not going to advertise it. I'm going to let everybody else do that.
All right, so we'll do it here ourselves. You came in here last year as a two-way guy, and I remember Brady and I were at the first scrimmage, and like our major observation that we came up with that day was Caleb Martin's probably gonna find his way into the rotation here somewhere because he just fits with what this group does. And now we're a year later and you've got a three-year guaranteed contract. Does it feel different to you? I know obviously the work ethic is going to be the same or more, but just in terms of having security, like just go through for somebody who doesn't understand it, like what you had to deal with before, not knowing where you're going to be year to year, and now knowing that, again, you're going to be financially taken care of, but also you have a place that you probably could be here for the next 3 years. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it's just an opportunity for me to be able to decompress. And it's such a weird feeling because I was talking to my brother a couple weeks ago and I asked him if he felt any different. And he was saying the same thing I did. I was like, man, I don't feel different because I do the same things. I buy the same stuff. I go the same places. I don't do anything much extra. But like you said, I just think that it's a feeling to get to decompress, because I felt like I was super anxious and stressed probably for the last 3 years. Yeah. And so just a sense of like relief, and I really feel like confidence-wise is taking my game to another level, to be able to come in here and completely be myself without feeling like I'm making the wrong move. I have to make every right step. I have to make every shot I shoot. I have to do whatever. So just be able to play more relaxed has been big, especially in summer.
Have you bought down here yet? Do you feel comfortable doing that?
I did. Yeah, I got me a spot out here. So I don't take too much on it. But yeah, I did.
Over to the basketball side of things, it seems like the whole topic this offseason is about the finding the four, like the hole at the four, PJ Tucker, obviously. Heading out, number one, what are some of the things that you learned from him that you feel like you could apply, let's say, if you're plugged into that role? And just how confident are you in that? Because I click on your profile and it says Miami Heat guard a lot of the time. So how is that just plugging into the four there, being labeled that?
Well, a player like me, I'm versatile. So I don't view it as guard, power forward, point, you know what I mean? If you can... To me, if you're versatile, you can play whatever. You're not going to label somebody who can play whatever. You know what I mean? You know, it's like Luka. He can go play the three or the four if he wants to, but you're not going to call him a small forward. A lot of people won't call him a point guard. You know what I mean? It's just to me, they're just labels. And last year, I spent a lot of time guarding bigger guys all year last year. And the way we defend and the way our team defense is, I'm not really worried about that type of stuff. I'm going to just continue to play hard. If I have a mismatch and somebody's bigger than me, I'm going to just not let him catch the ball. And if he does catch the ball, then we're going to figure the rest out as a team, just like we always do. So I think there has been a lot of stress on this four for this and for that, but there's been plenty of situations last year where I was playing the four. So.
And even across the league, I mean, we see this now with sort of this positionless thing, which in a lot of ways, Eric Spoelstra kind of started during the big three era. You hear Jimmy say today, he says, I don't want to play the four, but if they make me play the four, I'll play the four. Max says, if he doesn't want to play the four, I'll play the four. But it does feel like you guys have 10 to 11 rotation players at this point, and you could play big, you could play small. Where do you see your spots on the floor this season? Do you think they'll be different with the mix that you guys have? Or again, you had talked a lot about kind of mimicking some things that PJ was doing anyway.
I think for the most part, they'll look the exact same as last year. I think in addition, I think there will be times where I play more like PJ a little bit, where, you know, I'll screen and roll, or I'll do more handoffs and kind of emulate the same type of stuff that he did. That he does, but for the most part, if he's not screening or rolling, he's in that dunker spot towards the bottom of the basket where I spent a lot of time last year, and or in the corner, which I spent a lot of time last year. So there's only but so many spots I'll probably be at on the floor anyways, unless I have the ball going in transition, and I think that's an advantage that I have with being a wing or playing four, whatever it is. There will be just as much as people think there's disadvantage, there'll be a lot of advantages at the same time.
I think one of the things that people worry about is who's playing next to Jimmy and Bam. Can that player shoot, and not only shoot efficiently, which you did very well last year, but also shoot on volume? So do you feel comfortable maybe shifting your game from being someone who is a slasher, is a cutter, who takes the occasional three, as opposed to flipping that and being someone who spaces the floor routinely and opens up the floor for Jimmy and Bam?
Man, that's right up my alley. At the end of the day, if anybody's seen me play in college, that's all I did. You know what I mean? So to me, I wouldn't shy away from people pushing me to shoot the ball and pushing me to stretch the floor and stuff like that. That's, you know what I mean? That's what I live to hear. Like, you tell me, somebody tells me, hey, bro, we need you to shoot the ball. That's all you got to say one time. I'm listening, you know what I mean? Then I'm going to adjust to that. You know, I'm more of a player, especially in this league, especially with those guys. I'm here to accommodate them. So if they need me to do that, I would love to do that. If they need me to focus more on defense, more like the role last year, then I'm going to do that. That's part of being versatile and to be able to adjust on the fly.
Take me through the contractual process a little bit. Did you know from the very beginning, kind of, A, that they were interested in retaining you, but also what the ballpark might be and that you would be comfortable with that? Because I know, in just talking to Heat officials, they looked at the list. They looked at the free agent list, who was going to be available. And they kept looking at the list and looking at the list, and they're like, we like the guy we have better than the free agents that were out there. So let's just commit to him and bring him back. But how long did it take, and what was the process there?
Yeah, they let me know, especially before free agency started, they let me know how serious they were about keeping me. Obviously, you know, they needed a take a look at all options. You got to keep an open mind, and which I respect. And, you know, it was a little bit longer process than obviously I wanted, but at the same time, I also wanted to see what free agency was about and weigh my options as well. And obviously I know that I was restricted, but, you know, I have first deals, but to just be able to go through that process, I think is important to see what's out there. But ultimately I never wanted to leave. And I don't think they ever wanted me to leave. So I think there was a mutual understanding that at some point something was going to get done. And, you know, unless something better just came available where you couldn't pass it up.
Can you share a little bit like who you did the research on? Like, were there teams out there that, because obviously this is teams a good fit for you. And again, we sort of, everybody sort of identified that early. But did you look at other teams and say, okay, this is a place where I think I can fit? And maybe if there's an offer there, that might be a place that I might be willing to go.
I didn't willingly go out and do my research with stuff like that and look to where I wanted to be at because I wanted to be here. And I was going to go based off how they reacted. You know what I mean? So if they told me to go do this and go look at somewhere else, then that's what I would have done. But that was never the conversation. And, you know, I planned always coming back until something came up to where there wasn't a plan anymore. So.
And I was going to ask about your offseason. I think you said over there you gained about 8 pounds of muscle this offseason. Was that just more of your focus, more of your physical attributes, or what was kind of the offseason looking to improve on?
Yeah, definitely my body, but also keeping a comfortable weight was still keeping that first step and keeping that advantage what we were talking about when it does come to playing bigger guys and having that first step advantage on guys and having that quick bounce to get off the floor before they do. So getting a comfortable weight to where I feel strong, but also still having my burst that, you know, really benefited me last year. So
when you look back at last year, is it, and there were a lot of moments, but is it the Milwaukee game for you that jumps out the most still?
Yeah. Milwaukee game definitely is one of my favorite games. I think Brooklyn at Brooklyn was big, especially because I was still playing hurt. I think I did something the game before, but and nobody was playing that game. Well, most of the guys wasn't playing that game. But there's a lot of different moments in games throughout last year that stood out to me. But probably, yeah, Milwaukee is definitely my favorite.
All right, now that we're past it, the statute of limitations is over at this point. How bad was the Achilles that you were dealing with last year?
It was just times where it would, you know, it would flare up. It was never a thing where a structural thing where something was off and like I was thinking I was having to get surgery. It was just, I think it was more probably inflammation and wear and tear, you know. But it was nothing. If I'm sitting out a game, just know if I'm sitting out a game, it's hurting. So
you talked a little bit after the exit interviews after the season about just the differences in the playoff atmosphere, just the different ways they play, the slow it slows down. Obviously, you're a very athletic and fast player. Number one, I was going to ask you, and I'll just ask this first, playing next to Bam in those certain lineups you played last season, you played with a lot of the kind of the faster guards that were allowed to kind of go out and run, and that's kind of fits your play style. Feels like now losing PJ, you're going to be going to that a lot more. Just how comfortable are you with that? Just kind of forgetting the four stuff, just being out there next to Bam, being able to run like that in the fast break.
Yeah, man. Whenever you're out there with guys like Bam who can get their own rebound and push the ball and can look up the floor at the same time and make plays, and all he needs is guys like me to run the wing. So that's what I mean by the whole four situation, where just as many, you know, just as many disadvantages that we feel like we have, there's going to be times, like you just said, where we're going to be in situations, probably more often than not, where Bam is grabbing the rebound and Jimmy is grabbing the rebound and those guys are pushing it, or me, and I'm pushing it right at a four. You know what I mean? So there's not a lot of fours that can get back in transition, turn around and guard somebody. You know, PJ didn't necessarily do that too many times to guys that were guarding him. So I think that it would bring a different dynamic to our offense. So they'll have to respect it and they'll have to figure out just as much as we are.
Final one here with Caleb Martin. When you look at this team, and again, we talk about 10, 11 rotation players, different play styles that you guys can go, it seems like Eric Spoelstra can kind of get into that sort of mad scientist mode a little bit this year. Give me the one thing that he did last year that you're like, wait a second. Like, is he really going to try that here?
I think when he started me, when I first started, and I was, also when we got to the playoffs too, whenever he switched the lineup with Duncan and Max. And it just kind of put a lot of things in perspective with me, where I was like, all right, he's going to play who he thinks is going to help us win. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about who's his favorite guy, who he goes watch football games with Sunday. It's not about that. It's about, you know, who's going to help me win, who's going to mesh well with this, and who's going to accommodate the main guys on the team. So, I loved it. Like, whenever he started me, it wasn't about me starting. It was more that he wanted to see what I could do. So I appreciate that, and I respected it.
Well, Caleb Martin, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the contract and the 3 years of stability. We'll work on the merchandise for you if you need any help with that.
All right, I'll put it out there. I need some help with it. So
thanks, Caleb.
Thank you all, man. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.